Walk Beside You by Robert Hollis. With Sarah Bedell as Janine, Brenda Bruce as Lavinia, and John Rowe as Russell. I'll Walk Beside You.
Adam and Eve and Pinchmith went down to the river to drink. Emily, are you awake, dear? Oh, no. You can't. Oh, my dear Emily. But you weren't ready. Oh, now, you mustn't upset yourself, Lavinia. Well, you won't be wanting your tea, dear. Oh, my poor Emily. But I didn't let you suffer, did I, dear? Tears wash out a word of it. No, not one letter of a single word. Oh, you always try to do your best, Emily. Oh, yes. You try too hard to please sometimes, but I don't blame you for that. We've all got our little piccadillies. Then you never had very good taste, my dear. I expect that's because you came from a poor household. You even used to wear muslin next to the skin sometimes. And those terrible shoes you bought for poor Eleanor's funeral. Russell, my darling boy, you're all I've got left now. You and your lovely wife.
Now, Robbie, let's play another word game. I'll give you three words and I want you to tell me the one that doesn't fit the other two, all right?
Don't mind.
That's fine. Now, good, bad, happy.
Happy.
Good. Now another three. Summer, winter, lightning.
Don't know.
All right. How about love like hate?
Don't like anybody.
Oh, come on. Don't you like me?
No.
You like your house mother, don't you? I know she likes you.
No, she's a stupid old cow.
Don't you like some of the other children? How about Katie?
She keeps talking all the time.
Yes, I know she can be a bit of a chatterbox. But you ought to feel sorry for her. She's lost her mummy too.
I know. She told me.
Like one of these minty things?
All right.
Yeah. Well, shall we play the memory game now?
All right.
Well, you were telling me yesterday that your dad once put a spider in your teacup. Why did he do that?
Because he wanted to frighten me.
Perhaps he meant it as a joke.
Who wanted to frighten me?
Don't you like spiders?
No. They come and crawl all over my pillow when I'm asleep.
How do you know if you're asleep?
Because I know.
Are they still there when you wake up? When I was a little girl, I had a chest of drawers in my bedroom and I used to imagine the drawers were full of mice.
Did you?
Yes. I was terrified that if I opened them, all the mice would jump out and run all over me. Anyway, this went on for about a year, and then my mother got fed up with it, so she stood beside me and made me open them. Well, I plucked up all my courage and I opened the bottom drawer, and can you guess what happened?
No.
A moth flew out.
Did it?
Tell me something nice that you remember.
I found a young magpie once.
Really? Where?
Down by the old railway line.
What did you do with it?
Took it home.
And what did you feed it on?
Anything. Flies, beetles, bread and milk. It even used to try and gobble my finger.
Well, I expect it was hungry. It probably thought you were its mother.
It used to recognise me and start chirping.
Did it grow into a full-size magpie?
No. My dad made me take it back. He said he couldn't stand it shitting all over the place. Climbed up a tree and put it back in the nest.
Well, I should think its mother was glad to see it back again.
No. She's gone off somewhere else.
Anyway, I think that's enough for today. Look, Robbie, would you like to start at our play centre tomorrow? It's mostly for the older children, but I'm sure you'd enjoy it. Hmm? You've got all sorts of games and competitions. You make up little plays. And if you don't want to join in, you can just do something on your own, like drawing or painting. Mrs. Pember's in charge. I'm sure you'll like her. She's great fun.
Don't mind.
That's fine, then. Well, I'll tell Mrs. Pember to expect you. Thank you, Robbie. Pauline, take a memo to Dr. Dreshfield, please.
Right.
As follows. Robbie is now responding well to psychotherapy, and I'm starting him on play school tomorrow. I also recommend, with your approval, immediate reduction of drugs with a view to complete withdrawal within 60 days.
Got it. Oh, by the way, your husband just rang. He's holding on the outside line.
Oh, right. Put him through. Russell?
Darling?
Hello.
Sorry, you're not in the process of shrinking some juvenile head.
No, I'm free at the moment.
Something a bit urgent I'd like to talk to you about, but not over the phone. Unfortunately, I shan't get home at the usual hour tonight. I've got a lecture to deliver in a minute and some god-awful committee meeting after that. Listen, could you drop in on your way past college, say about six-ish?
I might just be able to manage that.
Lovely. Look, why don't you give me a buzz from the porter's lodge and I'll come down.
Will do.
Fine. Bye.
Bye.
Ah, oh, there you are, darling.
Something up?
I had a despairing call from Lavinia this morning. It appears that poor old Emily's passed on.
Oh, no. What happened?
Heart attack, presumably. After all, she was cracking on a bit.
Has she got any relatives?
Just one nephew in Scotland, it seems. I managed to get him on the phone. He's a foreman in some plastics factory. Said he hadn't seen the old girl for about 20 years and didn't seem terribly interested in appearing at the final rites. Mm. Although he did ask me if I wouldn't mind packing up her belongings and sending them on. Anyway, it rather looks as if I will have to make the necessary arrangements. I can't leave it all to Lavinia.
No, I suppose not.
So, I'll be going up there tomorrow on the 10:36. Look, I had quite a long chat with Lavinia over the phone. She was a bit distraught, naturally. She broke down at one point. Of course, she's going to be entirely alone now she's lost Emily, poor old thing. And her arthritis is getting worse all the time. She's more or less in constant pain.
Is that what she told you?
Well, not in so many words.
Couldn't she find another companion?
Well, hardly. Her time of life. She, wanted to know if she could move out this way so that she could see more of us. I told her I'd discuss it with you, naturally.
Russell, if it was anyone but Lavinia...
Well, yes, I appreciate that she can be a bit possessive, but, darling, that was long ago and far away before we were married. After all, you must appreciate that I was the only child for 30-odd years.
Don't you realise that she hates me for taking you away from her?
Of course she doesn't. She was perfectly happy with Emily's company while it lasted. She's got plenty of the old inner resources, you know.
You don't have to lecture me on Lavinia's outstanding qualities. I've had experience of them already.
Sorry. Good Lord, is that the time? I ought to be elsewhere. Look, we don't have to decide anything now, but I thought we might consider finding her a pleasant little flat somewhere in town. Doesn't have to be on our doorstep. You know, just so that I can keep a filial eye on her from time to time. However, I entirely understand your misgivings, and if you're unhappy about it, we'll just have to think of something else.
Russell, it's not that I...
Oh, there's going to be a rainbow. I knew there would be on my first day.
The omens are all in your favour, Mumsy. You always love being in Cambridge. And I'm sure you're going to like the new flat. No doubt you'll soon rustle up a few kindred spirits, and if you do happen to have any problems, I shall always be on the other end of the blower.
Russell, you're so kind to me. I don't deserve it.
Absolute nonsense. Just think of all those years when I was a real little horror.
Oh, you were never anything of the sort, dear. How is Janine?
Janine is bursting with rude health and waiting to greet you on your doorstep.
Russell, now, you must tell me the truth. Does she mind my coming to live near you like this?
Of course she doesn't. Why should she? She's very much looking forward to having you around. Ah, this is it.
Mumsy.
Lavinia, how lovely to see you again.
Janine, my dear, you're quite a stranger.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to come and see you more often. I'm a bit tied up at the clinic.
Yes, Janine's one of those dedicated types. 8 days a week, 25 hours a day. I only catch passing glimpses of her myself.
She's so beautiful, Russell. Such a lovely skin.
I know. I make her bathe it in ass's milk every day.
He's such a terrible tease, my dear.
Yes, I had noticed. Shall we go inside?
Yeah. Ah. Here. Oh, isn't it lovely? It's just like a dream. Even my old sewing basket. Oh, Russell.
Well, Janine did most of it, including the curtains.
They're beautiful. Oh, you remember my favourite colour. You're so clever, my dear. You have such very good taste.
Hey, what about my good taste, Mumsy? I picked her from the herd.
You were very lucky.
No question of luck, just my impeccable judgment.
You sound as if you're talking about a horse.
Sorry, darling. Still, I've got to admit you were first past the post. Well, how about some tea? I'll go and put the kettle on.
Oh, can I do something?
No, just take the weight off your feet.
I suppose too many cooks do make a mess of the rhubarb pie.
Yes, I suppose so.
It's so nice to see your lovely face again, dear. Do you really have to work so hard at your hospital?
Well, it's what you might call my profession, so I don't really mind.
Yes, of course. And I'm sure you're terribly good at it. I so admire you. When I was a young wife, we were expected to stay at home and look after the family. Going out to work was very much frowned upon. My husband would never have allowed it. A woman's place was either rocking the cot or making the ketchup. That's what he always used to say. And, of course, we had servants in those days.
Well, fortunately, things have changed. I suppose I'm lucky.
It must be very difficult for you to cope, my dear, having to do the cooking and the housework when you come home.
Not really. We sort of share it out. Russell's very good at cooking, especially the continental stuff, and we have a Mrs. Kelly who comes and cleans for us 2 mornings a week.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, my dear. I'm going to make myself useful. I'm going to do some cooking for both of you. I know just what Russell likes.
That's very kind of you, Lavinia, but really there's no need. We eat out rather a lot, and I'd hate you to go to any trouble.
Oh, no. I insist, my dear, I shall enjoy it. Oh, please don't think I want to interfere in your lives. I should be perfectly happy living here on my own.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't that. It was just...
Please, don't say another word, my dear.
Right, enough of this feminine chit-chat. Master's back now. Mumsy, 2 lumps of sugar as usual.
And then you climbed right to the top of the school clock tower.
Yes, that's right. Mind you, I had no fear at that age. Nowadays, I get a stiff dose of vertigo looking at circus dwarfs. Anyway, as I recall, the headmaster sent for a fire engine, but by the time it arrived...
When the fire engine arrived, my dear, Russell had climbed all the way down again.
Yes, or, to be more accurate, slid. A sharp shower had occurred in the interim, and the tiles had become rather slippery. I was only saved from instant extinction by a fortuitous gargoyle. The firemen were quite livid, of course. They sent the headmaster a bill for £20 for raising a false alarm.
Which you had to pay out of your allowance, you naughty boy.
Exactly. Except I seem to remember that you slipped me an extra tenner on the sly. Janine, sorry. Another ginger biscuit?
No, thanks.
And don't you remember when we were staying at Aunt Wendy's house in Bournemouth?
Oh.
And you put a crab in her bed?
I don't think I care to be reminded about that.
Oh, my dear. She was quite hysterical. She came rushing into my room with this crab clinging to her nightgown.
I think she took it rather well. She didn't speak to me again after a lapse of about 5 years.
Well, I've got a few things to get before the shops close. I'll leave you to your memories.
Let me read your teacup before you go, my dear.
I'm sorry, Lavinia. I just don't believe in fortune-telling. Bye. See you later, Russell.
Yes. Oh, I'd better be going too. I've got a lecture to prepare. Anyway, I expect you're pretty tired after all this excitement.
Oh, Russell, you're not going to leave me already.
I think I ought to. You'll be wanting to look around, get your bearings, so to speak.
Can't we have a little game of telepathy before you go?
Do we have to?
Please, darling. It's only a game.
Mumsy, you are quite incorrigible. All right. But only for a couple of minutes.
Hold my hand, darling.
Usual sort of thing, is it? Bits of poetry?
Yes. Look into my eyes.
I think I've got it. The moving finger writes and having writ. That the one?
That's right. Now, another one.
Oh, not that old chestnut again. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings.
Yes.
All right, Mumsy, just one more, then. I've really got to dash.
This is the last one.
Right, let's have it.
Concentrate, Russell.
Sorry, it's not coming through. Hang on. Yes? Something about night, is it? Good night? Yes. Do not something, is it? Do not... Go gentle, do not go gentle into that good night. I've got it. Fight against the dying of the light. Oh, sounds a bit somber for you, Mumsy. I never knew you were a fan of Dylan Thomas.
Oh, it's one of my great favourites.
Well, must be a ways, it? Come and see you again when you're settled in. Hey, I almost forgot. Pick this up from an old curiosity shop. Thought you might like it.
Oh, Russell, what is it?
Ah, wait and see. I assume this thing plays 78. Ah, yes. There.
It's Count John McCormack.
That's right, your own lover boy. Well, see you.
Yes, dear.
Away. I'll look into your eyes and hold your hand.
Come on, Arthur, run!
This is third goal!
I didn't hit it!
It don't matter, you gotta run!
Bugger off, you!
Don't be rude, Arthur, that's very rude. Now say you're sorry.
You mind your own business, you stupid old cow. All right, Billy, throw me the ball. If he doesn't run this time, he's definitely out. No, I didn't say throw it over there, you idiot! Eric, give me the ball.
Christine, would you like me to play?
No, you'd only be a nuisance.
All right, if you say so.
You've got to run this time, Arthur. Eric, catch it.
Oh, God.
You're definitely out now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. I hit you with the ball. It's my turn now. Give me the bat.
Just to try and take it off me.
Do you want me to? No, don't be so cheeky. Now, give me the bat. Give me the bat.
All right, that's enough. Now, break it up. Come on now, let's be friends.
He's always losing his temper. He ought to be put away somewhere.
Oh, he's not all that bad. He can be very sweet, can't you, Arthur?
Son off, you.
Ever you hit me again, I... Oh, never mind. What's the matter with you, sweetheart? Christine.
What?
Would you take Eric up to the house? I think he wants to go to the toilet.
Oh, God, why do you always have to be me?
Come on, then.
I've got Robbie here. Do you want to see him now?
Oh, right, Pauline. Send him in.
I forgot to mention somebody sent you some flowers. I'm just looking around for something to put them in.
Oh, hello, Robbie. Would you like to come and sit over here next to me?
All right.
I was talking to Mrs. Pember yesterday. She thinks you're very bright.
What does bright mean?
Oh, brainy, intelligent. How are you getting on with the play centre?
Not too bad. I like the competitions best.
Do you? I suppose you win quite often.
Sometimes.
I shouldn't imagine that you like losing all that much.
Not all that much, especially if some girl wins.
Oh, well, if the girl's lost every time, they'd soon lose interest, don't you think?
Yeah, I suppose they would.
I've got some of your drawings here. You're pretty good at drawing, aren't you?
Sometimes.
Could you tell me about this one? Who does the house belong to?
It's my house.
Oh, I see. And what's this tall building just beside it?
Well, that's a rabbit hutch.
A rabbit hutch? Isn't it a bit high for a rabbit hutch? It's almost as high as the house itself.
Oh, the rabbit's got a giraffe's head.
Well, has it really? You mean it's got a great long neck just like a giraffe?
It only comes out at night.
Does it? What for?
Walks about and kills people. What deserves it?
Oh, Robbie, you can't ask me to believe that. Giraffes are the most gentle of animals. So are rabbits. They wouldn't dream of killing anybody.
Oh, no. I was only pretending.
Let's have a look at the next one. Oh, I see. We've got another house. Why has it got such a big chimney?
To let all the smoke out.
Who's the little girl standing under the window?
Aren't they lovely? They're Peruvian lilies, I think. Where shall I put them?
Oh, just leave them on the table, Pauline.
There's a note. It says, to thank you for your kindness to a lonely old lady with love, Lavinia.
Yes, thank you, Pauline. Robbie, who's the little girl? Is it someone you know?
Not glad to tell you.
Is it your mother when she was a little girl?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Robbie. Surely you can tell me.
Leave me alone.
All right. All right. Let's forget about the little girl. Now, what about that big eye in the middle of the window? Who does that belong to?
I don't like you.
Robbie? Now, don't you think that was a very silly thing to do?
No!
Robbie? Pauline, send Nurse Renshaw in at once.
Robbie, now stop it.
Keep away from me.
What
I hate you.
Mom,
interviewing patients in future. I don't want to be interrupted for any reason at all.
I'm sorry. I just thought, you know, the flowers...
Yes, I know, but in future, flowers or no flowers.
I'll come in and clear up at lunchtime.
Thank you.
He's knocked everything off the table except the lilies.
Pauline, I've decided I'm not very keen on Peruvian lilies. Would you take them out, please, and throw them away? Oh, and would you find out if Dr. Dreshfield is free?
Simon, are you very busy just now?
You won't believe this. I've been asked to account to the board for what they call the extraordinary expenditure on bed linen over the last accounting period. What's the problem?
Robbie's just had a regression.
Serious?
He went berserk and wrecked my consulting room. I had to have him restrained.
I thought you'd given up the weed.
I intend to. Conditions aren't very favourable at the moment.
Did anything happen to spark off this reaction?
Nothing unusual. I was analysing some of his drawings.
Uh-huh. What was in them?
Well, there was a girl standing in front of a house.
His mother, possibly?
That did occur to me.
And he became disturbed when you suggested it?
At about that time, yes. But I'm not at all sure that that was the catalyst.
I do think it was a bit of a risk taking him off drugs so early.
I'm sure it wasn't that, Simon. He's past the stage for withdrawal symptoms.
All right. I'll have a look at him tomorrow. But I think we may have to put him back on sedatives at least.
There's something else which perhaps I ought to mention. Just before he freaked out, Pauline brought some flowers in. I'm sure they had an adverse effect on Robbie.
How come?
I don't know. But when he threw all the stuff on the floor, he left the flowers alone.
Sounds like pure fantasy, my love. Where did these flowers come from? The garden?
My mother-in-law sent them.
Oh. So now we invade the territory of the music hall joke. Am I to assume that she's not one of your favourite people?
Oh, it's not that, Simon. Actually, she's a very sweet old lady. I'm sure you'd get on with her like a bomb if you met her.
That doesn't answer the question. Do you like her or don't you?
Yes, of course I do. It's just that she's...
Why, of course?
Oh, well, it's not very important.
It could be. Very important. Please tell me more about this mother-in-law.
It's just that she's got a certain sort of... charisma. There's something about her which makes my skin crawl.
Which in some way manifested itself through the flowers she sent you to the extent of affecting Robert.
Well, I know. It sounds...
Now, suppose you identified those flowers with the old lady, right? Mm-hmm. Which caused a strong hostile reaction, which was then communicated straight to Robbie. I've known that happened before. These youngsters can pick up emotional disturbances in adults like hedgehogs pick up fleas. Especially the schizos.
Oh, do you think that's what it was?
I think it could well have been. What I'm really saying is this. I don't think it's a good idea to hold analytical sessions with kids when you've got something weighing on your mind. I've made the same mistake dozens of times. Nowadays, I'll cancel a session at the drop of a hat if something's bothering me.
I'm sorry, Simon. I accept that it was my fault.
Oh, forget it. You've got nothing to feel sorry about. You've done a great job on Robbie already. Remember what he was like when he came?
I do.
I'll have a good look at him tomorrow and we'll see where we go from there. Oh, and on the brighter side, I think Christine will soon be ready for discharge, provided we can find her the right sort of foster parents.
Ah, good.
Oh, great shot. What does that make the score?
9-7. In other words, I've won.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. Don't say you've beaten me for the first time.
I'm afraid so.
Oh, well, I suppose it had to happen sometime. Everyone has an off day. Even Jonah Barrington sometimes gets beaten by an inspired amateur, or so they tell me. You know what? In 2 or 3 years, he'll be beating me regularly at this lark.
Russell?
Yes, my sweet?
It could be sooner than you think.
What exactly do you mean by that?
For at least the last 3 games before this one, I've been letting you win.
What? You're lying. Admit you're lying.
No, it's the truth. I swear it.
Oh, please, pretend it's not true. I'll do anything you say.
I cannot tell a lie.
Oh, I'm getting old. My wife can beat me at squash. Oh, after that, I seriously need a stiff drink.
Gin and tonic, I think, for the lady. A large one, please. Plenty of ice and lemon. And for myself, something rather similar.
Oh, I think I can manage that, sir.
Good. Well, had a good day at the shrink tank?
Much the same as usual, I suppose.
No outstanding traumas?
No, just the normal ration of average ones.
You forgot to ask me how the book's going.
How's the book going?
In terms of sheer quantity, not bad. I managed 1,000 words today, or 957 to be precise. I actually counted them.
Sounds terrific.
Oh, by the way, Andrew Foster rang me up this morning. Wants me to do a discussion program on the box next Tuesday.
What about?
Extrasensory perception, which, of course, I know nothing about. Some American professor's just written a new book on the subject, and he's coming over to launch it here.
Ah.
Andrew's going to interview him, and he wants me to be the opposition.
Sounds a bit outside your territory.
Yes, it is a bit. Still, no problem. Should be a piece of cake. I just read the book and latch onto the weak bits. Quite dishonest, of course. Still, no reason why I shouldn't contribute to popular culture as long as the money's right.
You'll be doing panel games next.
Strange you should say that. Someone did sort of put out a feeler in that direction last time I was up at the studios. Ah, thank you.
Here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ah. I dropped in to see Lavinia this afternoon. She seems to be settling in all right. I understand she's been round to All Saints Church and made quite a hit with the vicar. Unfortunately, the old arthritis doesn't seem to be getting any better. I've been trying to persuade her to get some treatment, but she won't hear of it. She can be a very stubborn old thing.
Yes, I'm sure she can.
Anyway, I've arranged to go to her place for lunch every Saturday, unless you've got anything special on. I assume that's all right for you.
Yes, of course.
Well, I thought it was the least I could do, until she gets to know a few people of her own ilk. I've also asked her round to our place next Thursday evening for a glass of sherry. She's dying to see the house.
Yes, I dare say she is.
But you don't mind, darling.
Whether or not I mind isn't important, Russell. What is important is that you didn't ask me first. It's my home as well as yours.
Oh, God, sorry, darling. It was sort of spur of the moment.
Would you like to put another one in there, please?
Certainly.
Don't you think she might be putting on the arthritic bit when you happen to be around?
Oh, come on. And what an unkind thing to say.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Russell, listen. I don't want you to think I've got anything against Lavinia. I quite like her. Have you got a match?
Sorry.
Thank you. But you did say when we talked about her coming here that she wouldn't be a problem. She's only been in Cambridge 6 weeks. Already she rings up about 3 times a day. Now you're going to lunch with her every week and you've asked her round to us without my knowledge. Don't you think you ought to encourage her to be a bit more independent? She's only... what, just over 70 now? She could easily live another 15 years. The way you're carrying on, she could be dominating our lives within 6 months. I've seen that situation before. It is certainly not going to happen to me.
All right. I take your point. I assure you it's not going to happen to either of us.
But she's old, and she's lonely, and she's my responsibility. Oh. I'm not asking for your support, but I'd appreciate your understanding.
Oh, Russell, for God's sake!
Diddle, diddle, dumpling, my son John went to bed with his trousers on. Taffy was a Welshman. Taffy was a thief. Taffy came to our house and stole a Lego thief.
Who is here to promote his new book on the subject of extrasensory perception. Also with me in the studio is Russell Patterson.
Went down to the river to drink.
Now, what you say on, I think... Yes, page 67, is that extrasensory perception has been shown to be much more acute in some animals, and rats in particular, than with Homo sapiens. And you go on to claim that the development of frontal lobes in humans has drained off certain areas of the brain in which this faculty was alleged to lurk.
Alleged is your word, not mine.
And that may be so, but you put this forward without any real semblance of scientific proof, and I'd like to suggest to you that the whole book is riddled with similar skeletal theories.
Surely what Russell Patterson is saying is that there is no real evidence that such a faculty is possessed by humans.
Precisely.
There is ample evidence of this faculty being possessed by humans, stretching back to medieval times. I would like to cite the experiments in mental telepathy of established authorities such as Professor Gilbert Murray of your own Cambridge University. And coming back to the more recent past, Uri Geller is an obvious example.
Well, I certainly agree that Geller is a first-class magician, if nothing else. Professor Kaufman. You've been working in this field for quite some time. I should have thought that you yourself would have developed some of these extrasensory perceptions during that time.
No, sir, I've never been so lucky.
Where the rose blows, along the river's brink.
Either you were born with it,
with
or you don't have it.
Well, I'd be inclined to think, over all flimsy evidence of your book, that nobody, sorry, lost my train of thought. Where the rose blows. Where the rose blows along the river's brink with old Khayyam, the ruby vintage drink.
You were saying you weren't convinced by the evidence.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Sorry, I was just trying to recall a couple of lines of verse from a fairly well-known poem. Now, what I'd like to point out, Professor, is that anyone listening to this programme will have received these lines loud and clear with certain electronic assistance, right?
Right.
Well, if you could arrange for us to sit here in the studio and receive messages from members of the audience sitting at home without electronic assistance, then you would number me among the converted.
No, really, darling, I thought you were very convincing. It was one of your better performances.
Well, I suppose there must be some merit in being able to waffle on almost any subject for and against. I'm not quite sure what it is. Matter of fact, people like Uri Geller terrify me. Still, the money's always useful. About 30 years' time, I'll be up there with A.J.P. Taylor.
Oh, look, there's a squirrel. Do you remember telling me that Lavinia can transmit messages?
Oh, you mean the old telepathy game? We've played that since I was about so high.
Can she transmit messages?
No, of course not. She's got a few favourite bits of poetry, particularly the Omar Khayyam epic, which I've come to know by heart over the years. We've done it so often I can tell what's coming up next by the expression on her face. It's just a harmless bit of fraud, really, but she seems to enjoy it. Terrible old hypocrite you've married.
Let's sit on the grass for a bit.
All right.
Could we play it?
Play what, my sweet?
This mental telepathy business.
Whatever for?
I just want to.
What now?
Yes, why not?
No, honestly, it's a load of old codswallop.
Oh, let me try, please.
I'm sorry, darling, but this conversation is beginning to bore me.
If you can play it with Lavinia, why can't you play it with me?
Look, it has to be someone who
you happen to be particularly close to?
I wasn't going to say that, actually. No. Oh, all right, if you insist, we'll have a go.
Do I have to shut my eyes?
No, just grab my hands. Mm-hmm. All right? And look straight into my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, concentrate on whatever it is you're trying to send, and I'll try to pick it up.
A piece of poetry?
If you like.
All right. I'm sending... now.
Something. Some animal. A pet. Is it a cat? Oh.
The cat jumped over the moon. No, that was a cow. The cat and the fiddle. Is that it?
Try a little harder, please.
There's a cat and some other animal.
Go on.
The cat and... the goldfish, is it? Oh, sorry, I can't get any further.
The owl and the pussycat. Oh, Russell, it works.
Well, yes, after fashion, I suppose. A few years' practice and we'll be able to save ourselves a couple of telephone calls. To tell you the truth, I'm quite happy with our normal methods of communication. Suppose we ought to wander back. We've got Lavinia coming this evening.
Let me fill you up again, Mumsy.
Oh, I oughtn't to, really, my dear. I've already had a plentiful sufficiency.
Just one more.
Well, I suppose a little of what you fancy doesn't do you any harm.
There we are. Ah. Well, what do you think of the old homestead, Mumsy?
I think it's perfectly splendid. My dear, you've made such a comfortable home. It looks so very much lived in.
It's terribly scruffy at the moment, I'm afraid. Our Mrs. Kelly left us a fortnight ago.
Yes, somebody else offered her some vast stipend, and loyalty succumbed to human greed.
Don't worry, my dear. Russell was always hopelessly untidy. Every morning when I used to go into his bedroom, everything was higgledy-piggledy. Sheets twisted in knots, pillows all over the floor, things scattered all over the bed, toys, bits of chemistry sets, bows and arrows, even bicycle tiles.
Remember the time you bought me a bow and arrow for Christmas? The one I shot Cadle the gardener with through the kitchen window.
Oh, yes, that was on Boxing Day when he was doing something to the drains. You hit him in the trouser leg.
That's right. I was aiming for a spot between the shoulder blades, but I miscalculated the strength of the wind.
You were obviously aiming too high that time.
Oh, no, I never do that. I've always had the philosophy of the mousing owl rather than the towering falcon. I noticed at a very early stage that low cunning usually triumphs over sheer bravado and developed my techniques accordingly.
Nonsense. Don't believe a single word of it, my dear. Russell was always very single-minded.
Really? I hadn't noticed it. I've always had the impression that Russell was a bit of a ditherer when it comes to making decisions.
Oh, no, that's just what he wants you to think. Sometimes he used to let me believe I'd made a decision for him, but I always knew he'd already come to the same conclusion.
Yes, I agree. He's always a bit devious.
Look, if you two ladies will promise to stop dissecting my character, I might even consider making the coffee.
My dear, I've got something for you. It's a charm bracelet. My grandmother gave it to me on my first birthday. It's hundreds of years old.
Oh, it's beautiful. It must be very valuable. Lavinia, I couldn't possibly accept it.
Of course you can. I'm sure Mumsy very much wants you to have it. Let's see what it looks like on you.
Well, it's...
just one second.
Oh, let me do it for you, dear. Huh? These men are hopeless.
There you are. It looks smashing on you.
They say it should never leave your possession. Otherwise the luck will leave you and follow the talisman.
It's extremely kind of you, Lavinia.
I've got something else I know Russell will like. Can you guess what it is?
No idea at all.
There's one for both of you.
Oh, Mumsy, your individual fruit pies.
Oh.
Now, what's this one? Blackberry and apple. Darling, these are really, really scrumptious. Mumsy's special recipe.
Well, I always say the proof of the cooking is in the pudding.
Mumsy, I do wish you'd stop bending those old proverbs. They're beginning to howl with anguish. Right. I'm going to demolish this one as of now. What a flavour. Darling, aren't you going to try yours?
I'm not very hungry at the moment. I'll go and make some coffee.
But don't I be making the coffee?
It's all right. I've got things to do in the kitchen.
My dear, before you go, I'd like to take a picture of you both sitting in your own lovely house.
Let me help you with the flash bulb, Mumsy.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. I can manage. Ah, just you sit down there with your lovely wife and let me take a picture.
I hope you don't mind, Lavinia, but I've got a bit of a thing about posing for photographs.
Oh, come on, my love. It'll only take a second.
I'm sorry. Russell. Why doesn't Janine like me?
Of course she likes you, Mumsy. She's always been very fond of you, but she's a bit on edge tonight. She's been dealing with a very difficult case, and you know how it is. She just can't put it out of her mind.
Yes, I know. I'm being very silly, really. She's such a wonderful girl. So conscientious.
That's better. Look, we've got lots of photographs taken together upstairs. I'll dig one out and let you have it next time I come over. Let me find you another cushion. There. Ah, that more comfortable?
Thank you, dear.
Mumsy, that was a little bit naughty of you the other night, playing telepathy with me when I was on the box.
Oh, darling, I just wanted you to know I was there.
You certainly achieved that. No, I'm being serious, Mumsy. It can be just a little bit distracting in the middle of a live studio discussion.
I'm sorry. It was very silly of me. Will you forgive me?
Yes, I think I might consider it just this once. As long as you promise me it won't happen again, mind?
Oh, Russell, you remembered. That's just what I always used to say to you.
These are really scrumptious. Mumsy's special recipe. Oh, well, the proof of the pudding is always in the cooking.
Good book, darling. Thought you were a bit uptight with Lavinia this evening, my sweet.
Really? What makes you say that?
Well, after all, she was leaning over backwards to be nice to you, and you didn't exactly respond. After all, it wouldn't have taken a very significant sacrifice on your part to let her take a photograph. You might possibly, with a monumental effort, have taken a small bit of her fruit pie. It's not exactly a crime to give the old dear a bit of pleasure on occasions, is it?
Russell, I've never liked posing for photographs. I think it's a totally vacuous exercise. You know that perfectly well, so why should I pretend? With regard to the fruit pies, I just wasn't hungry. In any case, I couldn't possibly have competed with your drooling performance.
As a matter of fact, as you are no doubt aware, I absolutely loathe fruit pies. I just felt it was up to me to make some sort of effort, especially as you weren't dishing out any huge chunks of support. Poor old Mumsy. She thinks you detest the sight of her.
Am I supposed to respond to that suggestion?
No, not really. Forget it.
Russell, there's a couple of things I'd like to say about Lavinia. First of all, as you know, she always clenches her left hand like a claw. It's supposed to be arthritic. But when she fastened that bracelet on me, both of her hands were completely free and supple. Afterwards, when I was making the coffee, I had a terrible pain in my back. I immediately connected it with the bracelet, and as soon as I took it off, the pain had vanished.
What are you trying to suggest? Haven't you ever pinched a nerve before?
Yes. Russell, what was your father like? You hardly ever mentioned him.
Haven't I? Well, there's not much to mention. I never got to know him. He died when I was 9.
Well, what did he do? I mean, for a living?
Insurance broker in the city. He was one of the old late Victorian patriarchs. You know, top hat, mutton chop whiskers, dinners at the Guildhall, that sort of stuff. Also, a bit of a stage door Johnny, I believe. Had a couple of mistresses going at the same time.
Is that what Lavinia told you?
Oh, no, she was always the soul of loyalty. I was filled in by one Aunt Wendy, of whom you may have heard tell.
Did you like him?
Not really. He was a proper old tyrant. He used to scare the hide off me whenever I saw him, which wasn't too often. He was never the nursery visiting type. He always used to make a point of coming home for lunch on Saturdays, sometimes full of charm and bearing flowers, but usually he'd be drunk. It was nothing for him to be 2 hours late. We had to sit there solemnly waiting for him to arrive. Sometimes, when he was full of brandy, he'd sit there sobbing or gnashing his teeth. If he didn't like the food, he'd throw it on the floor.
Oh, that must have been awful.
It wasn't exactly salubrious. That's why I decided to have lunch with Lavinia every Saturday. Some attempt at compensation, I suppose.
What happened to him? In the end?
Died of food poisoning, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Picked up a stiff dose of salmonella from somewhere. It was always out of restaurants. Seafood, I think it was. The doctor said it was prawns. I remember feeling a great sense of relief that he wasn't going to be around anymore. All the juicy secrets of the Pattersons unfolded into your lovely little shell-like ears.
Russell?
Hmm?
Do you realize why Lavinia has come to live here?
No, tell me.
She wants to take you back.
Are you serious? You think she stands a chance?
Just had a telephone call. Top brass is coming down on Friday.
What top brass?
To be more explicit, Judith Haycock, Undersecretary to the Health Ministry, is going to look us over to see if we get another government grant after next year.
Simon, they can't close us down.
I wouldn't be too confident. There's been cutbacks all over in the last 6 months. Half a dozen psychiatric units have got the chop already. Somebody's got to be next. Yeah. Still, let's revert to more important matters.
These are the treatment reports.
Good. How's young Robbie?
He's still got his insect phobia, but he seems to like flowers. I wonder if we might put him in charge of flower beds, let him pick them and arrange them for the house.
That sounds a good idea. As long as the girls don't start to question his masculinity. Let's try it and see how he goes.
Right. Simon, do you know anything about telepathy?
Well, not much. I've known one or two people who are able to read minds a little. Is that what you mean?
I was thinking more of transmitting things, like messages.
Well, any efficient member of the magic circle could probably oblige.
No, I'm serious, Simon. I'm wondering if it's possible for someone to transmit other things like physical pain.
Well, it's moving into the realms of witchcraft, isn't it? Ah! Don't tell me you're getting obsessive about your mother-in-law again.
I suppose she is getting under my skin a bit.
Are you sure you're not using her as a substitute? How do you get on with Russell these days?
Well, we have our differences of opinion, but nothing more. I'm very fond of him.
Only it did occur to me that you might be having problems with Russell at the unconscious level and passing them on to the old dear, making her the scapegoat.
Simon,
huh?
She came over to see us a few days ago. She gave me a fruit pie. I couldn't eat it, so I threw it out on the lawn. Next morning, there was a dead thrush lying next to it, and I could see the peck marks.
Now, come on, love. Thrushes do die of old age.
Yes. Yes, I know they do. I'm sorry, I'm just being stupid.
Oh, don't worry. No one's walking over your grave. Listen, I should be taking a fortnight's break in about a month's time, and you'll have to cope while I'm gone. So why don't you and Russell nip off to the hills for a week before I go? I could manage without you for a bit.
It's very kind of you, Simon, but I don't think it's the answer.
Do you expect any of these children to make a full recovery?
One or two, perhaps. The best we can hope for is that they can eventually make a reasonable adjustment to society.
Right. What do you mean? Will they get jobs or get married? Or?
They might possibly be employable. It's doubtful if they're capable of loving relationships.
Oh, yes, I'm rather pessimistic. What do you think, Mrs. Patterson?
I never make hypothetical predictions.
Lucky you. I usually have to, especially where large sums of public money are involved. What are you doing now?
I thought you might like to see some of the play school conducted by some of Mrs. Patterson's patients. Would you like to sit there, Mrs. Haycock?
Yes, thank you.
Now, I don't want to hear any swearing, mind.
All right, Shirley, go ahead.
Go on, then.
Who are you, might I ask?
Emily the Ape. I bring you some flowers.
They're no good. Anyway, I'm Cleopatra, so you can't be Emily the Ape. Who are these ragged people?
This is Elvis Presley and Queen Mary.
If you're Elvis Presley, let's see you sing then.
I don't wanna.
I'm Queen Mary.
Anyway, I've decided to cut your head off.
What? You? Who are you trying to kid?
Unless you agree to worship God Almighty.
Never heard of him. Be on your way, you insolent dog.
I'm not an insolent dog. I'm the King of England. Stop trying to contradict.
Well, I'm Cleopatra, the Queen of Jews, and that's a lot more important. Cylinder.
I know, I'll be Dracula.
No, you won't. You're Elvis Presley. You can't change now.
I'm Queen Mary, so you can all go home.
I'm going back to my castle in a minute. Who wants to come with me?
Who wants to go to your stinking castle? It's as cold as ice. There's no central heating.
Yes, there is. Anyway, how do you know? You've never been there, you stupid twit.
I'm not a stupid twit, and I've been there dozens of times, you idiot.
No, you haven't. I won't let you in.
I'm Dracula.
Leave me alone, you. Go on, bugger off. Stop messing about.
What's Queen Mary supposed to do?
Just sit still and keep quiet.
I'm the one who gives orders round here.
Oh, no, you're not.
Yes, I am. Anyway, thanks for the flowers, even if they do smell horrible.
I'm Frankenstein now.
All right, that's all.
That young boy who was Henry VIII and the girl, Cleopatra, are they really disturbed? I mean, wouldn't they make the same sort of progress in conventional institutions? Christine has been to 3 or 4 already, and we're the only one that would take Robert. He burnt the last one down. Now, I am slightly worried about your staff-patient ratio. It's almost 1-to-1. Is that really so?
These children need to be supervised day and night. Every member of my staff works a 60-hour week. Mm. If I had to lose more than one staff member, I think I'd have to abandon the entire project.
Well, I'd like you to understand, young man, that it might help me if you were able to suggest some means of reducing your budget.
Well, I suppose we could sell the lawnmower.
There's a young King Henry over there. Perhaps I could have a word with him.
Certainly. Robbie? Robbie, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Haycock.
I hate you!
Robbie!
Oh, I am so sorry. I'll get you a towel.
Please don't worry. It is one of my oldest dresses. Did you have a handkerchief?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't worry, please. It's all right. Now, I think I'll try for a 5-year extension, which means you'll probably get 3. I appreciate that you do have unusual problems.
Your husband's just arrived.
Oh. Ask him to come in, please. Russell, you didn't tell me you were coming.
Oh, surprise, I suppose, surprise. I knew the top brass was coming down, so I thought I'd offer some comfort. I saw the official wagon in the drive, so I thought I'd keep a low profile until the heat was off.
She's promised to extend our grant.
Oh, great! When's the celebration?
I think there's a bottle of sherry around somewhere for special occasions.
Thank you, my lovely, but sherry in the late afternoon is not to be considered. Oh, by the way, I brought Lavinia with me. She doesn't get out a lot, as you know.
Lavinia? Where is she?
Well, I didn't think it was a good idea for her to negotiate the stairs, so I left her in the garden having a chat to some of your adorable young psychopaths.
Which particular children was she talking to? Was one of them a boy called Robbie? Rather short, dark curly hair?
Yes, I think I recall a youth of that description. Why do you ask?
Russell, please try to understand. These children are under very specialised treatment. All the staff here are trained to deal with them by very specific methods. At this stage, we try to keep them away from all outside influences until they are able to cope with them.
Surely, darling, Lavinia, I mean. They seem to be really enjoying
it. It's not just a question of Lavinia. Suppose we open the gates to all and sundry. What would you think if I barged in on one of your tutorials?
I'm sure my students would be over the moon.
Russell, you can be such a sententious bastard sometimes. Where did you leave Lavinia?
Now, my dear, what are little girls made of?
Sugar and spice.
And all things?
Sugar and spice and all things nice.
And what are little boys made of?
Slugs.
And snails.
And puppy dogs' tails.
Lavinia! How nice to see you.
I've been having a nice talk with one of your lovely little gals. I've decided to adopt her as my honorary niece.
Mumsy, I don't want to rush you, but it's time we were underway.
Christine, I think Mrs. Maguire is looking for you.
What for?
You must go now, my dear.
All right.
Come on then, Mumsy. Ups-a-daisy.
Ah, you mustn't wait to see us off, my dear. I know you must be terribly busy.
Pauline, you'd better get home now.
Oh, right. Shall I get some food turned up for you before I go?
Don't bother. I'm trying to cut down.
Your figure. You should worry. What about poor old me?
Shirley! Is something the matter? Come and sit down.
It's Christine.
Well, what's wrong with her?
You see, I noticed she was getting Tim in the face. I didn't take much account of it until just now, when she was helping me tidy up. And she came over faint. So I told her to get into bed while I sent for you. And oh, my dear God, the bones are sticking out of her body. So I put her on the scales, and she's just 5 stone 2. Oh. She's wasting away. So I asked the other girls, and they said she's eaten nothing for the last 3 weeks.
But surely you'd have noticed before if she hadn't been eating.
Oh, surely I should have. But she's been helping with the cooking and taking her meals in the kitchen. And she's been wearing 3 sets of underwear the whole time. For the last couple of weeks, I've let her take baths on her own. Because she said she was a lady and wanted to be private.
Shirley, please don't upset yourself. It's not your fault.
Is there anything I can do?
No, thanks, Pauline. Come along. Come on, we'll go and have a look at her.
Sugar and spice and all things nice.
Christine, are you awake? Why haven't you been eating?
I don't want to get fat.
But you've never been fat.
I want to be a model.
You're much too skinny to be a model or anything else.
I want to be a model.
What you got in your hand?
Nothing. Leave me alone.
All right. Mrs. McGuire is going to bring you a cup of hot chocolate in a little while, and I want you to promise me that you'll drink it. All right, Shirley.
It's a brooch she has in her hand. She won't part with it for a second. She says an old lady gave it to her. Some relative, I believe.
Look, see if you can get her to take a hot drink, and as soon as she goes to sleep, try and take that brooch away from her. It might be important.
Dr. Wixon here?
Ah, Dr. Wixon, sorry to trouble you at this time. It's Janine Patterson here, Stanhope Clinic. We got a severe case of anorexia nervosa, a girl of 13. I'd like to get her into hospital right away. She's very weak.
You mean tonight?
Yes, if possible.
All right. See if I can find her a bed.
Oh, thank you. Pauline?
Yes?
Thank you for staying. Would you ring Dr. Dreshfield's hotel in Norfolk and see if you can get him? Say it's an emergency.
Simon.
Ah, there you are.
Sorry, I had to drag you back.
Ah, you did the right thing. Anyway, it poured with rain the whole time. I've just seen Christine on the way through.
How is she?
It's a bit rough. Wixon's put her in the intensive care unit. She's still refusing to eat or drink. I'll soon have to start intravenous feeding.
Was she still clutching something in her hand?
Yeah, some kind of ornament. They've nearly all got something they hang on to in times of stress. Rag doll, bunch of ribbons. As you no doubt know.
It's an amber brooch, which was given to her by Lavinia. She came here about 3 weeks ago, which was just about the time Christine started fasting.
Which proves?
Robbie's already had 2 regressions after some sort of contact with Lavinia. Don't you think it's more than just coincidence?
In what way?
Well, some people are carriers of physical disease which contaminates others without affecting themselves. Isn't it possible they might be carriers of mental illness which can also affect others, especially if they're already mentally disturbed?
And you see your old mother-in-law in this realm?
I'm just suggesting it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting theory, but it needs a little more research. In other words, my love, don't you think it's time you rid your mind of this ludicrous twaddle? Look, while I was at the hospital, I phoned Alex Mullion, who is the head lad on anorexia in this country. He told me that a girl who already had a psychotic background would be around 15 or 20 times more vulnerable to the condition than a normal one. So all we have to be is a bit unlucky. Janine, listen. I know how you feel about Christine, but we've got to put this behind us and concentrate on the other kids. Right?
Yes, of course.
At the moment, I don't think you're in any great shape to do that.
Oh,
you've obviously got a pretty severe hang-up over this little old lady, and you need to get rid of it, because it's begun to affect your nerves, and it'll soon be affecting your performance. I'll give you the symptoms, if you like. You're smoking all the time, you're losing weight. Agreed?
Yes, I know.
All right. What I'd like you to do is to take some time off. Get away on your own for a few days if you can and get it sorted out. Come back when you feel like it. Will you do that?
If you want me to.
Oh, Christ, Janine, you know I couldn't run this place without you. But I need you firing on all plugs instead of just ticking over. For your sake as well as mine. Particularly for the kids' sake.
Where exactly are you thinking of going?
Warbiswick, on the Suffolk coast.
Oh, great. I could do with a sniff of sea air before term starts. When do we leave?
Wrestle. Sue Barkworth has a cottage down there. She's staying there at the moment, and I've arranged to spend a few days with her.
You mean I'm not included? You're going to stay with old jolly hockey sticks without me?
Oh, darling, please try to understand. I need to get away from all my usual associations. It's just for a little while. I haven't seen Sue for a couple of years. I'm sure she'll be very good for me.
Oh, God, they're not driving you round the bend as well, are they? I've only just got you back. You mean I've got to carry on going to bed with a copy of Playboy?
It won't be for long.
Well, make sure it isn't, my sweet. Otherwise, I shall be a nutcase by the time you return.
I hope you like this.
It's got some French name, but it's really Lancashire hot pot with a dash of garlic.
Sue, I'm so sorry. I'm not at all hungry.
You what?
Seriously, I've got a bit of an eating problem. That's part of the reason I had to get away.
How long has this been going on for?
About a couple of weeks. I'll be all right tomorrow. I feel much more relaxed already.
Well, this calls for a drink, if nothing else. How about gin or vodka with tonic?
Vodka would be fine.
Right. How did you manage to cop for this?
Oh, just tension, I suppose.
I know the feeling. You don't mind if I eat?
Oh, of course not.
Oh. Cheers.
Well, Mumsy, you certainly haven't lost your touch with the old steak and kidley pud. That was magnifico. A few weeks of your cooking and I would absolutely reach the point of no return.
You never put on an ounce before you were married.
Ah, yes, that may be true. But in those days, I was in the first flush of youth. Nowadays, I'm approaching middle age and my wife can beat me at squash.
Oh, I'm sure she can't.
Well, all right, I encourage her to think so. But the time will come.
Well, I suppose we must all suffer if we want to stay beautiful.
I've always thought so, except that you seem to manage it with such effortless ease. Harry Toppers?
No, thank you, dear. I hope Janine doesn't mind our little Saturday lunches.
No, of course she doesn't.
Hey, I thought I was fit, but I can't keep up with you.
Isn't it great? It's the first time I've walked along a beach for years.
I wouldn't take too much exercise, Janine. You're burning up energy, you know.
Oh, nonsense. I think you could well afford to shed a pound or two. Come on, race you back to the jetty.
Mumsy, one of my professional colleagues, a lecturer in physics to be precise, has his mother staying with him. She's a lovely lady, very civilised, very much your sort of ilk, in fact. She's also about the same sort of age. I was wondering if you'd care to meet her. I'm sure she'd love to have a chat with you. If you like, I could bring her along one evening, perform the necessary courtesies, then disappear and leave you to it.
It's very sweet of you, Russell, dear. But now I've got you and Janine near me, I don't need the company of other people. Anyway, I don't expect to be here for very much longer.
Oh, come off it, Mumsy. What sort of talk is this? You've got another 20 years yet. What would I do without you?
You have a wonderful wife to look after you now. Russell, take my hand, dear.
Mumsy, no telepathy today. Not in your present state of mind.
Please.
Janine, you've been here a week now, and you've not eaten a thing. You're just living on vodka and you're smoking like a chimney. Don't you think you ought to see a doctor?
Whatever for? I never felt better in my life.
You can't go on like this. You're all skin and bone.
Don't worry, I'll survive. Cheers.
All right, Mumsy. Get ready to receive.
This time, I want you to send me something I couldn't possibly know about.
Oh, but that's not fair.
Please, Russell. Let me try.
All right. Now, let me think. Right. I'm sending now.
I can't give you the words, but it's something about sending thoughts to other people.
Mumsy, that's amazing. Listen, this is what I was sending. It's from Barclay's Second Dialogue. To me, it is evident that sensible things cannot exist otherwise than in a mind or spirit, whence I conclude that seeing they have an existence distinct from being perceived by me, there must be other minds wherein they exist.
Can we try another one, darling?
If you carry on like this, I shan't have a thought to call my own. Right, just one more. But this time, none of this intellectual nonsense. Are you ready?
But when the sun was low in the west, the dong arose and said,
What little sense I once possessed has gone right out of my head. Oh, well, the time has come, the lobster said.
Russell, I've decided to have a little dinner party next Wednesday, just for you and Janine. I'm going to cook you some of my special things.
Oh, good. Hang on a second. Wednesday could be a problem. We've got something on that night.
Couldn't you put it off?
Well, not really. I've got my old professor and his wife coming to dinner. I tell you what, Mumsy, make it the week after, yes?
Not Professor Littlejohn.
That's right.
Oh, my dear, I met him when you were an undergraduate, don't you remember?
Yes, of course you did, yes. At the garden party, when it pelted with rain and we all had to run for shelter.
He was a man of such superior wisdom. He said if you didn't get a first, he was going to jump in the nearest canal.
Yes. Well, I had to save him from the Grand Union. It was about 60% raw sewage.
Oh, Russell, couldn't I meet him again?
What, at our place, you mean?
Just for a little while? Just to say hello?
Look, let me check with Janine. She's organising the thing. Mustn't jump the gun. Still, I don't see why not.
Two vodka and tonics, please.
Certainly, madam.
Sue, do they serve food here?
Why? Scampi, chicken in the basket, ham and eggs, that sort of stuff.
Perhaps we could order something.
Don't tell me you've found your appetite.
Yes, I have. I feel absolutely ravenous. Is there a telephone in this place?
This one in the corridor.
I just want to make a call.
Thank you, madam. That's £1.20 exactly.
Oh, and chicken and chips twice, with roll and butter.
Dresfield here, stand-up clinic.
Simon, it's me, Janine. How's Christine?
The short answer to that one is she died about an hour ago.
Oh, God. No. Oh, Simon, I'm so sorry.
Aren't we all? They did all they could. I've been staying there for the last couple of nights. Where are you?
I'm in Suffolk. Simon, I'm all right now. I'm coming back tomorrow.
Good. I look forward. No any dirty jokes, I haven't heard. I could do with a laugh.
Oh, God.
Don't you think it's extraordinary?
What is?
The pear tree. Last year it was loaded with fruit. This year it could only manage half a dozen.
Perhaps it decided to take a sabbatical.
This is the last one. Would you like half of it?
No, thanks. I had a call from Brenda about an hour ago. They'll be arriving about 7 on Wednesday.
Good. Got a pretty sharp mind, old Angus Littlejohn. Or at least he used to have. I mentioned their visit to Lavinia while you were away. She actually met him once.
One of us will have to pick them up at the station and run them back.
Yes, well, let that be me. Actually, she's very keen to meet them again. Lavinia, I mean. Of course, she hardly meets anyone these days. So I thought I might pick her up on the way back from the station, bring her over for half an hour for a drink and a chat, and run her back before we start to eat. Would you be amenable to that arrangement?
No, I would not be amenable to that arrangement.
Well, just to have the odd word. It wouldn't do any harm, would it?
Russell,
Angus Littlejohn was my professor as well as yours. I'm very fond of him, and I'm also very fond of Brenda. I haven't seen them for 3 years, and I'm looking forward to having them for dinner. And just this once, I am not having Lavinia around. I'm sorry.
Aren't you being a bit unkind, my love?
Did you invite her?
No. I suppose you could say she invited herself.
Exactly. But was it necessary for you to tell her the Littlejohns were coming?
You certainly don't seem to be enamoured of the old lady, darling. What's she done to you?
Whether I like Lavinia or not has nothing to do with it. I just don't want her at this particular dinner party, and I can't understand why you keep trying to force her on me.
Look, nobody's trying to... Oh, my God. Right, I accept your decision, my sweet. Lavinia will not feature on the guest list. Which leaves just one small problem.
What's that?
I'm just wondering how I'm going to tell her she's not wanted.
Would you like me to do it?
Yes, all right. What a good idea. Why don't you?
I'll do it now.
Hello?
Lavinia, this is Janine.
Oh, hello, my dear. I was just thinking about you.
It's about Wednesday. I think Russell told you we're having dinner with our old professor and his wife.
Yes, my dear. I remember the professor very well. Such a charming person.
Yes. I believe Russell said something about your coming over for a while. Well, I'm sorry, but that won't be possible.
Oh, I am sorry. Is something wrong?
Oh, no. No, no, it's just a question of time, really. You see, they won't arrive here till about 8, and they've got to catch a train back to London, and... Well, we haven't seen them for such a long time, and we've got an awful lot to talk about. I hope you don't mind.
My dear, of course not. You naturally want to be alone with your old friends.
Perhaps we could fix something up for a bit later.
That's quite all right, my dear. I mustn't intrude upon your private life.
Damn.
Veux faire la bourguignonne, eh?
Darling, would you please get out from under my feet?
Yes, I suppose too many cooks do rather tend to spoil the apple dumplings.
You're beginning to sound exactly like your mother.
In that case, I better organise the booze.
Russell, I'm just going up to change. Will you switch the oven off in about 10 minutes?
Will do, my love.
Right.
Ah, the Chevrolet Chambertin.
Can you come up a minute?
Coming.
Look what's happened to my dress.
Oh, my God, how did that happen?
I don't know. I just took it out of the wardrobe.
Were you smoking?
I just lit one 2 or 3 minutes ago.
You must have dropped some ash on it. This stuff's pretty highly inflammable by the look of it.
Russell, I couldn't have done. Look. I put the cigarette on the edge of the ashtray. That was before I opened the wardrobe.
Well, there's one thing for certain. You can't wear that tonight unless you want to cause a sensation. How about that orange-coloured chiffon thing that always turns me on? Oh, bloody hell. I've got to be at the station in 10 minutes.
Russell!
What's the trouble now?
Look at my hand.
What's the matter with it?
I don't know. I can't straighten the fingers.
Well, not to worry. It's probably just a bit of nervous strain. It'll wear off in a little while.
Can't you see? It's Lavinia. She's doing this to me because I wouldn't let her come tonight.
Oh, darling, that really is nonsense.
She's evil. She can harm people.
Oh, come off it, my love. Just because my old mother likes doing a bit of mental telepathy and fortune-telling doesn't mean she dabbles in the black arts or sticks pins in dolls. I should know. I've lived with her long enough. Anyway, we are not supposed to believe in all this bloody nonsense, are we, people like you and I?
How do you know what she's been up to since we've been married?
Certainly not charging about on a broomstick.
Russell, I'm frightened.
Oh, there's no need to be, darling. Look, why don't you put on another dress while I go and pick up the guests? We can talk about the other business later. All right?
And how's the work going?
I've just been writing a paper on the basic elements of sexual attraction.
Oh, I bet you enjoyed that.
After a good deal of research, I reached the conclusion that the archetypal man with maximum physical appeal for a woman is an extrovert, arrested adolescent approaching middle age with no sense of social responsibility and a high metabolism.
I used to have all those qualifications 20 years ago.
You're a bloody liar, my darling. You've always been a monogamist.
Oh, hell. Yes, well, that may be true. But... largely through lack of opportunity, I fear.
Oh, hark at him. All those lovely girl students, and he says he never had the opportunity. Anyway, I never knew Russell was an arrested adolescent.
I'm not. That's why very few women fancy me. Janine is the sole exception.
Nonsense. I fancy you.
Yes, I know, and I'm very grateful, but you're already spoken for and therefore beyond my reach.
Do you mean sexually or intellectually?
I don't think I should answer that question.
Your husband's very smug tonight, Janine, and you're not saying a word. Are you going to let him get away with it?
Excuse me a second. Yes.
Oh, I gave up trying to civilise him years ago. Would you like some more beans? Help yourself.
Yes, please.
Good heavens, girl, what have you done to your hand?
Oh, nothing much. I caught it in the oven door. It seems to have bruised the fingers.
Ah, well, for one moment I thought you had arthritis. Yeah, I've had that in my shoulder for years, but you're much too young and gorgeous for that sort of complaint.
I'm awfully sorry. I'll have to leave you for a little while. I've just had a call from my mother. She seems to be in rather a bad way.
Oh, dear.
What's the trouble?
I don't know. She just sounded very distressed. She only lives half a mile away. I shan't be long. Please forgive me.
Oh, yes, of course. Don't worry about us.
No. You go on. Your beautiful wife will entertain us while you're gone.
Excuse me a moment, would you?
Of course.
Russell, what does she want?
She just said she wanted to see me, and it was very urgent.
Can't you see? She wants to punish me by ruining the dinner.
No, it is much more than that. I can tell by her voice.
Oh, don't go, please.
I'm sorry, darling. I must. What's all this about, then, Mumsy?
Russell, I've decided to end my life, darling. I just wanted to say goodbye to you. I'm sorry if I've spoiled your dinner party. Will you ask Janine to forgive me?
Oh, no, you haven't swallowed all these.
No, Russell, please. I want you to sit down and listen to me. I can't stand the pain any longer. And there's nothing the doctors can do. I'm only a terrible nuisance to you and Janine.
You're nothing of the sort.
Yes, I know. I'm the wasp in the jar of ointment. I've outlived my welcome.
Mumsy, listen. There's a very good specialist in arthritic diseases right here in Cambridge. I only heard about him yesterday. I'll get you an appointment tomorrow.
No, I'm not going to see a single doctor more. I want you to make me one last promise, Russell, that you won't tell a single soul. I shall just go off to sleep, and someone will find me in the morning.
How could I possibly promise that?
We've never refused each other a promise or broken a confidence. Please, Russell, just kiss me and let me go to sleep.
You can't ask me to do this.
Please. Please.
Mumsy, I shouldn't have left you.
One thing is certain, and the rest is lies. The flower that once has blown forever dies. And the lilacs in the spring again and walk together down a country lane. If you want to throw stones, you mustn't live in a conservatory.
Did you ever meet Russell's mother?
Yes, I seem to remember she came down to the college once. We had a strawberry tea together on the lawn.
What did you think of her?
Oh, I don't know. She was full of bright chatter and obviously very devoted to Russell. She seemed to be quite a charming old thing on the face of it.
Janine, my love, you haven't said a word about your work at the clinic. I'm sure Angus would love to hear about it. I'm only a nuisance to you and Janine. Fight against the dying of the light. Round and round the garden like a teddy bear.
Yes, Mumsy, I'll keep my promise.
Once bitten, twice sly.
Yes, I would agree that most physical illness has some sort of psychosomatic origin. But that still leaves us with a problem. If this is true, what is the source of mental illness? It's a sort of chicken and egg situation. However, I'm afraid Brenda and I will have to catch our train before we arrive at the answer to that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just can't imagine what's happened to Russell.
Oh, don't worry, my dear. I'm sure his mother needs him more than we do. It's no fun getting old. Anyway, it's a privilege having you all to ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll run you to the station.
Oh, no, no, we wouldn't dream of it. I'll ring for a taxi.
Oh, please don't. It's no trouble. I've got my car outside.
Well, whatever the transport arrangements, I want to thank you for a lovely meal and a very entertaining evening. Oh. I'm sure Angus has enjoyed it. He hasn't taken his eyes off you for a second.
This woman watches me like a kestrel, as you may have noticed.
Good evening, Dr. Pettersson. Would you like, sir?
A large brandy. Book it to my account.
We've all got our little pick of this.
Oh, Russell, sir, dear to see you. I've been intending to give you a ring.
There you are, sir.
Thank you.
It's a vital election.
You've got a lovely wife to look after you now.
I realise there's no immediate...
Stands but as I seem to be the church clock at 10 to 3, and is there honey still?
I just want to be left alone.
Sorry, old boy. I say, are you all right?
Well, my dear... Thank you for a most enjoyable evening.
It was lovely seeing you again.
You're looking very tired, my love. You'd better get straight to bed when you get home. I'm sure that man of yours isn't looking after you properly.
Oh, I'm all right. I'll come and see you off at the platform.
Oh, no, you won't. You go straight off home. And listen, next time you're in London, promise you'll come and see us, all right?
Yeah, of course I will. Love to.
Oh, good. Goodbye, then.
Bye.
Owl and the Pussycat went to sea in a beautiful sea green in a beautiful pea green boat. We've never refused each other a confidence or broken a promise.
God, I'm so tired. It's Lavinia. She's trying to send me to sleep. I will not go to sleep. I will not.
Adam and Eve and Pinch Me went round the river, down the river to sink.
God, must telephone. Russell. Oh. Russell!
Mumsy, why are you doing this to me?
Where the slow rose blows.
Russell.
Along the silver drink rivers blink.
Russell.
Where the rose goes.
Russell, help me.
Janine.
Addenbrooke's Hospital.
Oh, hello. This is urgent. Put me through to the casualty department, please.
Casualty?
Please listen carefully. I've just found my wife outside the house. She seems to be in a state of coma. I'm bringing her in now. I'll be there in about 10 minutes, and I want you to be ready for her. Is that clear?
Dr. Patterson, Dr. Wixon can see you now.
Thank you, sister.
Ah, Dr. Patterson, you've just seen your wife?
Yes, I have.
Rather extraordinary, really. She had all the symptoms of a massive overdose of barbiturates, but there was no sign of drugs in her stomach contents. She suffered a cardiac failure for about 5 minutes. In fact, she was technically dead on arrival until we managed to revive her. And, of course, it was your mother who unfortunately had taken the sleeping pills. Was your wife very close to your mother?
Yes, they were very fond of each other.
This is pure speculation, but I suppose she might have developed a sympathetic condition with your mother, in much the same way as husbands develop stomach pains when their wives are in labour. Still... She seems no worse for the experience.
When can she leave?
Well, I see no reason why you couldn't take her home this afternoon, say in a couple of hours.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for all your efforts.
There is a slight risk of brain damage in these sorts of cases. Rather unlikely, but Perhaps your wife will drop in for a check in a couple of weeks, just to make sure.
Right, I'll make sure she does.
Shortly to accomplish the number of thine elect and to hasten thy kingdom, that we, with all those who are departed in thy holy name, may have our perfect consummation and bliss, both in body and soul, in thy eternal and everlasting glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you, Vicar.
I'm sure your mother will find peace in the grace of our Lord.
Aren't the lilies lovely? Yes, dear, they're brilliant, I think.
Well, I suppose we'd better get back and organise the tea and crumpets.
Russell, how long will it be before we inherit?
Inherit what?
Lavinia's money.
I've no idea. It's hardly the time to discuss it now.
Why not, darling? It's mine as well as yours.
I didn't realise you'd suddenly become addicted to economics.
Well, we've all got our little Piccadillys. Russell. What did I say just then?
Don't you remember?
No. That's why I'm asking you.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't anything important. Are you feeling all right?
I've got a bit of a headache.
Hardly surprising in the circumstances.
Adam and Eve. And pinch me. It's all a checkerboard of nights and days. Where destiny with men for pieces
darling,
plays.
Are you all right?
A bird in the hand is worth 10 in the apricot tree.
Will you stop it?
The little dog laughed to see such fun. And the spoon ran away with the dish. Do not go gentle into that good night.
Oh, my God. No.
I'll walk beside you through the passing years. Through days of rain and sunshine, joy and tears. And when the great call comes and sunset gleams, I'll walk beside you to the land of dreams.
I'll Walk Beside You was written by Robert Hollis. Janine was played by Sarah Bedell, Lavinia was Brenda Bruce, and Russell, John Rowe. Robbie, Chip Sweeney, Pauline, Jane Knowles, Shirley, Teresa Stretfield, Christine, Heidi Smith, Arthur, Marvin Charlton, and Eric, Spencer Banks. Dr. Simon Dreshfield, Alexander John, Andrew Foster, Sean Probert, Professor Kaufman and Dr. Wixon, John Livesey, Mrs. Haycock and Brenda, Elizabeth Morgan, Sheila, Aisha Mitchell, Sue Barkworth, Judy Franklin, and Professor Angus Littlejohn, Crawford Logan. Special sound was by the Radiophonic Workshop. The play was directed by David Spencer.
Brenda Bruce is a National Theatre player.